Right, well, that's that element of the mission completed. What shall I do now? Well, I suppose I could move on to the next bank robbery and go and meet up with Michael, but no, I think being as I'm Trevor and I own the strip joint, I think I might go there and get a free stripper. Yeah, that'll be an interesting use of my Saturday afternoon. Right, let's get in Trevor's vehicle and drive to the strip joint. Yeah, okay, let's program that in, menu. Right, and let's go past the, go past Mount Josiah and... what is... it looks like a face. Jesus. That's right, my son. I am Jesus, the Lord of the Lamb. And I'm appearing to you in Mount Josiah while you are wasting your life being deeply depressed, spent looking at porn and playing video games and being a virgin. And I am here to tell you there is a better way. You can be a virgin while also being a Christian, and your life will have meaning, and eventually you will pass on your genes with an appropriate female and be a success as an organism. Put down your computer, my son. Put down your PlayStation and come with me to the great PlayStation in the kingdom of heaven. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. And this is a Valentine's Day special edition in which I thought it would be a good idea to talk about sex, and specifically the fact that a lot of Western people are having a great deal of sex, but yet increasing numbers of Western people aren't having any sex. There is a polarization in the realm of sex, in the realm of what is going to be happening on Valentine's Day, and I want to talk about why that is happening. Now, obviously, since the 1960s, the West has become increasingly promiscuous. It was the case that sex was totally socially unacceptable outside of marriage. As recently as the 1980s, the majority of British people felt that if you had a child, you ought to be married, and even that if you were had sex, you ought to be married to the person that you were having sex with. Now, the generation that would have been predominantly of that view, i.e. those born in the 1910s, 20s, 30s, have increasingly died off. And we have now a situation where it is perfectly acceptable to have sex outside marriage, indeed perfectly acceptable to even have children outside marriage. So something has very, very fundamentally changed in the West. We have become, we went through a long period of being more sexually promiscuous, of sex being more acceptable, of people having more sexual partners rather than the one sexual partner within marriage that they would previously would have had. So we've got a society where there's more sex, where there's Tinder dating, where people are very, very promiscuous, where significant numbers of people have more, you know, more than sort of three sexual partners within their lifetimes and whatever. Promiscuity is everywhere. Except at the same time, there is evidence, particularly over the last decade, of a coming apart, of a breaking up of society in terms of how much people are having sex. On the one hand, you have people who are what we might call fast life history strategists, who have evolved to invest their energies in sex, as opposed to in an unstable yet dangerous ecology. Then what you need to do is you need to pass on your genes as quickly as possible, so you invest your energy in sex. And then the split between those people and those who are what we call K strategists, those who are evolved to a stable yet dangerous yet a difficult ecology, and it's competitive, therefore you have to make sure that your offspring can compete, therefore you invest less energy in sex and more energy in nurture and looking after the offspring. Now, what our society used to do is it used to suppress those that were fast life history strategists and encourage those that were slow life history strategists. In many ways, it's now gone into reverse.
It's considered shameful to turn up on a university campus and aged 18 or whatever and be a virgin, even though most people perhaps are. They wouldn't admit to it. So there's been this complete collapse in the social controls on sexuality. Now, what that resulted in was a long period of increased promiscuity in which more and more and more people had more and more and more sexual partners. But the thing is that those kinds of people that were our strategists, that invested greatly in sex, tended not to have children. Remember, they don't want to invest their energy in nurture. They're evolved not to do that. They're evolved to invest their energy in having sex. And so if they can avoid having children, they will. And of course, with the presence of very reliable contraception, they are able to do that. So those people who are very, very sexually promiscuous will have a tendency, at least if they're reasonably intelligent, if they have sufficient intelligence to be able to use contraception properly, then they will select themselves out of the gene pool. And this has increasingly been happening. The result is that the people that have lots of children are those that are sexually promiscuous plus low intelligence. Those two things don't necessarily go together, but they have come together because it's those people, the ones that want to have lots of sex but don't have the intelligence or foresight, which is part of intelligence, to use contraception correctly, who end up having lots of children. So therefore you have this split in society of people who have low IQ and are strategists and are having lots of sex, are highly promiscuous and are having lots of children. But what if you control for intelligence? Well, then you see this interesting coming apart. On the one hand, and yes, society is becoming more and more promiscuous. But on the other, there is evidence, particularly since about 2005, of a collapse in the extent to which people are having sex. For example, since 2007, the percentage of people in America who haven't had sex for a year has risen from 5% to 20% among men, and from 5% to 25% among females. So this seems consistent with the idea that there is a portion of society, yes, you've got the promiscuous portion that's having lots of sex as well, but a portion of society that is increasingly not having sex. Another survey found that among those under the age of 35 in the last year, between 2004, those that were religious, those that were regular church attenders, had gone from 20% who hadn't had sex in a year under 35 to 60% who hadn't had sex in a year. Those that were occasional church attenders had gone from 8% who hadn't had sex in a year to 21% who hadn't had sex in a year. And those that didn't go to church at all had gone from 10% not having sex in a year to 20%. So you have an increasing portion of society who is not having sex, while another portion of society is having a great deal of sex. A breaking up. Now, what, as I said, is potentially, there's also data, by the way, which indicates a hollowing out of the middle. So you've got a growing proportion of people that have a very small number of sexual partners, one or two in their whole lifetime. And then you have people that have a very large number of sexual partners. And then you have very small numbers of people in the middle. So what we have is a kind of strange hollowing out of the middle, a coming apart, a polarisation in sexual terms. Now, what could be causing this? Now, we've already looked at, on the one hand, what is causing the high level of promiscuity, what that is motored by, is essentially low IQ, fast life history strategists. They are highly sexually promiscuous. They have lots of sexual partners. They have lots of sex. And they have lots of children because they don't have the intelligence or wherewithal to be able to successfully use contraception. So they tend to have children by accident. That's the first group. Now, the second group that tends to have children, interestingly, is the exact opposite of that. It is people who are extremely conservative, people who are extremely religious, people who are extremely traditional, and who will have those children within the context of marriage. That is the second group that is having children. And if you control for intelligence, then the key thing that predicts having children is basically being religious and being conservative. So we're seeing a coming apart in terms of who's having children. Now, what those people who are religious and conservative, what you would expect those people to do is, if they are not married, then they would not have sex at all. So if they were increasing as a portion of the population, and there is evidence that they are increasing as a portion of the population, because the heritability of religiousness is about 0.7, and there is a strong degree to which they tend to stay religious if they are the children of religious people. If that portion of the population that was reasonably intelligent and religious was growing, then you would expect interesting things to happen in the data. You would expect more and more people to be delaying sex, to be delaying having sex. And so you would get more and more people under the age of 35 who wouldn't have had sex in the last year. And as we saw with the data earlier, the big predictor, the big rise is among those across the period of the last 20 years, is those who are regular church attenders, which is the significant marker of being religious. Regular church attenders are increasingly not having sex. They are increasingly delaying having sex and whatever, you know, presumably in order to get married. So what we are seeing is this split whereby the very, very religious people are becoming a growing percentage of the population, and this is impacting the data on not having sex in the last year, because these people will tend not to have sex until they get married. And then presumably, even when they do get married, they will be investing a larger amount of their bioenergetic resources in the nurture of children and in, you know, the nurture of their partner, in having a relationship, as it were, and less of their energy in simply copulating. And so all of this will create this dynamic whereby, yes, we have an increasingly promiscuous society overall. Oh, it's become more promiscuous for a long time, but beneath the surface, bubbling beneath the surface, there's been this growing religious segment who don't have much sex and who certainly don't have sex before marriage. So that the second thing that's going to be relevant to this is simply, you know, incels, general weirdos, and you know, people that just can't attain sex. So the kind of person that I was channeling at the beginning, who invests all of his energies in pornography and in computer games, or in the case of women. Women who are simply maladapted and have lost interest in sex or whatever. That's the second group that's going to be increasingly manifesting. Now, in this why would that be the case? Well, part of it is going to be genetics. We are an increasingly genetically sick society. You know, higher levels of illness, higher levels of mental illness, higher levels of physical illness, decreasing levels of testosterone among males. All of these things are going to create more and more people that are simply not having sex. If you're mentally ill, if you're depressed, then you won't have much of a desire or an ability to go out and get a girlfriend and have sex. Much more likely that you will use pornography and play computer games and things like that. So this is the other group. Now, why are they in this situation? Why are they so depressed? Hard to say. As I say, part of it could be simply increasingly genetically sort of sick people, but it's happened so quickly that I suspect a big element of it is simply environment. These young males are evolved to be in a situation where, you know, they can be males and be proud of being males, and what they have thrown at them is an evolutionary mismatch, which tells them that it's terrible to be a male, that they should be ashamed of being a male, that it's disgusting to be a male, and whatever. They have thrown at them an evolutionary mismatch where there are, under normal conditions, it would be the male who is the hunter and the provider, and the woman who is the nurturer and the carer and whatever, and they are competing with women in the workplace. This could be regarded as an evolutionary mismatch, and so this just basically sends them into a spiral of despair and dysphoria, and they lose interest in the ability. They don't feel like men anymore, and their testosterone levels collapse, and they lose interest in life, and they just fall apart. And the people that will survive this onslaught, this evolutionary mismatch, will be those that are highly genetically prone towards wanting to have sex and towards wanting to have children. And those will be, on the one hand, the fast life history strategists that just are designed to want to have lots of sex, and on the other hand, the religious people, because we were under selection for religiousness for hundreds of years, because it was adaptive, consistent with this religiousness is, you know, it's 0.3 heritable, fundamentalism is 0.7 heritable, it's an instinct that hits in at times of crisis, it's associated with physical health genetically, it's associated with mental health genetically, it's associated with fertility, it has all the markers of being an evolutionary adaptation, and so it would be associated with everything else that was adaptive, and therefore those people would reject that the evolutionary mismatch that was maladaptive. They'd be able to get through it, and they'd carry on having sex and having children regardless. They wouldn't be as environmentally sensitive to this problem, and so those people would have children as well. But the incels or whatever, they would be in a mismatch. They would be in the wrong environment. They wouldn't have the inbuilt genetic health to be able to cope with it, and so it would. Being environmentally sensitive types, it would basically send them mad, and so therefore they would be deficient in testosterone. They would feel emasculated. They would feel depressed, and they would end up not having much sex. And this would come through in the data. And so perhaps this is also what is occurring, what we are seeing in the decline in young people having sexual intercourse. So you've got, as I say, these two trends. Another issue that is quite relevant is a study was published recently which found that feminist identification among men is associated with erectile dysfunction. Now, why would that be the case? Well, what kind of men are going to identify as feminist? Well, there is good evidence that being left-wing is associated with neuroticism. People that are left-wing are higher in mental instability. Why? Well, there's a number of reasons, but the reason that seems to me to be fairly obvious here is if you are high in neuroticism, you will be socially anxious. If you are socially anxious, then you will want to identify with whatever the dominant worldview is, because you'll fear ostracism. You will convince yourself, if you're reasonably intelligent, with the veracity of that worldview. That worldview is feminism, that worldview will make you emasculated, because it will put you in an evolutionary mismatch where women are in traditionally male roles, but also you will be neurotic anyway, and so therefore you will be high in anxiety, and therefore you will be more likely to be impotent. So you can see why that would happen. So therefore you would be less likely to be having sex. So we can see then this coming apart that is happening for both genetic reasons and environmental reasons that are downstream of these, which is resulting in a splitting up whereby a growing proportion of the population are not having sex. But this can be regarded as a sort of white pill, in the sense that what it is showing is that, yes, we are becoming more and more promiscuous, and yes, we are becoming more and more woke on the surface, but beneath the surface, there is bubbling up this genetically mediated religious revival, whereby those that are more religious tend to have more children. Those that are fast-life strategists and are highly intelligent, they are selecting themselves out via the condom. And the result is people overall seeming to have less sex. But what that is reflecting is a change in the nature of the population, whereby we have created this explosion of sort of dysgenics, of people that wouldn't have been around, of people that would have died of scarlet fever in pre-industrial times. Those people have tended to be fast-life history strategists and individualists who are highly sexually promiscuous. But those people, if they have a reasonable level of intelligence, will not want to have children and will take on contraception to avoid having children, and will simply not want to have children because they have weird, messed-up genes that make them not want to have children. And those people will gradually select themselves out of the gene pool. And the result eventually is that a larger proportion of a younger generation, even a generation inculcated with wokeness, will be congenitally resistant to that wokeness, and will be the remnant normal conservative religious population of pre-industrial times. And so there'll be a gradual move back, on the one hand, towards that kind of population. But on the other hand, there's the breaking apart, because you've then got the population that also wouldn't have survived in pre-industrial times, that has far sufficient strategy plus very low IQ, and therefore cannot be inculcated with the dominant ideology of wokeness and whatever, and also just has lots of children because it doesn't have the intelligence to avoid having lots of children. So what you're seeing is a coming apart between the low IQ promiscuous people and the higher IQ non-promiscuous people, and those in the middle, those that are promiscuous and high IQ, are gradually falling out as they resign from the gene pool, as indeed residing from the gene pool are those that have, you know, anything, mental poor health or whatever, environmental sensitivity, anything that will allow them to be inculcated with and badly affected by wokeness. So in that sense, we can see this as a white pill and that the future may be positive. I hope this has been of interest. And if it has, please subscribe. It really helps if you do that. Please remember that I live stream on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon. And happy Valentine's Day. And goodbye!